once again to Landmarks for Living. This is Richard Melson, evangelist at the Needmore Road Church of Christ. This is a radio ministry where every listener is encouraged to not only read, but study their Bible daily, according to Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. God is indeed concerned what you think. God is indeed concerned what you do. Today's broadcast is coming to you on December 21st, 2025. Please check out our website at www.needmoreroadcoc.com. Past broadcasts of Landmarks for Living are archived at our website. Past issues of the Edify newsletter are available. Also, if you have not already subscribed once, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. We would love for you to visit with us on Sundays at 2211 Needmore Road. Bible study begins at 9:30 a.m., worship at 10:30 a.m., and we have an afternoon worship at 5 p.m. We assemble again on Wednesday at 7 p.m. I appreciate everyone who listens to Landmarks for Living each Sunday morning on 98.7 FM or WGNZ AM 1110 or FM 104.3. You may also listen to us by streaming online at thesoulofdayton.com or WGNZ.com. And since the start of this program, the emphasis has not changed. It is to teach only that which is authorized by God in the Bible. If you have a question about anything that is taught during our broadcast, please write to us so that we can supply a Bible answer to your Bible question. You may write to us at Landmarks for Living, care of the Needmore Road Church of Christ, 2211 Needmore Road, Dayton, Ohio, 45414, or email me at dr.rdmelson@nmrcoc.com. Beloved, the Bible is the only approved standard for authority today in all matters of morality, ethics, and religion, according to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. Therefore, do not move nor remove the divine landmarks. We dare not step outside the sphere of divine authority and then try to pretend that we are walking by faith. For faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans 10 and verse number 17. Keep this in mind, that the way that we treat the scriptures, the Bible, God's word, is the way that we treat the Lord. Dayton, are you listening? I hope that you have learned from our earlier studies that the scriptures are the complete, sufficient, error-free source of truth. As such, Jehovah issued forth warnings in both the Old and the New Testaments, Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2 and Revelation 22 verses 18 and 19. God's word is all the truth necessary for the genuine spiritual life, and it completely meets all the spiritual needs of mankind. Dayton, are you listening? Last week, we talked about solving our problems. We observed what the Word of God had to say relative to that subject and looked at and learned that there are only four ways that man approaches and deals with their problems. And those things are universal, and we just need to make sure that we are doing that which God wants us to do, and that is to be obedient to God's word. And so we're going to pick up on that today and discuss this point, or this issue, is whether or not partial obedience is obedience. Or if we put it another way, if we put it as an affirmation, we would affirm that partial obedience is not obedience at all. Why is it that so many people think that partial obedience is okay with God. Why is it that individuals think that they can do what they want to do and still be acceptable to God? Now, the Bible has a lot to say about the idea of obedience, about the fact or the reality of obedience from Genesis to Revelation. Matter of fact, the first book of the Bible is talking about God setting forth the requirements of man's obedience, the necessity of man's obedience, and the consequences of man's disobedience. The word obedience appears at least 14 times in the Bible. The word obey appears over 100 times in the Bible. And then there are related terms that appear in many, many places as well. And so we must understand how important it is for us to be obedient to God's word and learn that partial obedience is not obedience at all. We're going to look today, I think, at maybe two or three examples of this to glean and to learn what the scriptures are teaching with respect to this wonderful and all-important point. Remember, it was Jesus who said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I command?" So let's observe by first going to an Old Testament example. And there are a number of Old Testament examples that we could look at so that we would learn this fundamental principle. When the children of Israel requested a king and they begged for a king, and so God gave them a king. And the first king of the nation of Israel, of course, was Saul. And God gave Saul some instructions and gave him a job to do. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, the commandment that God gave, the instructions that God gave, were very clear. Notice, as we will, starting 1 Samuel 15, beginning at verse number 1, "So Samuel also said to Saul, 'The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, heed the voice of the words of the Lord.'" You need to underscore that word. The word "heed" is another word which means obey. So not only, Saul, are you to hear what God says, but you are to do. You are to obey what God says. "Heed the voice of the words of the Lord." Verse 2, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, 'I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and do not spare them. Kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey.'" And so God gave Saul a very clear instruction. He was to be the avenging arm of God to mete out the punishment for what Amalek had done. And so Saul was given some very specific instructions, and he was told to heed what God had said. You know, God was very explicit with King Saul about what it was that he was to do. And he told him in verse number 3, what the expectations of heaven was for Saul. And I think that's important to note. So God spoke through the prophet. The prophet gave him the instructions. Here is what you are to do. You know, God has given each and every one of us instructions of what he expects us in this dispensation, in this time, to do. But before we get to, you know, what God expects us to do right now, remember, when God speaks, just as he spoke to Adam in the Garden of Eden, gave him very specific instructions of what it was he was to do, that God's expectation was for that if you are obedient, you live. If you're disobedient, you die. God has given man commandments to follow. And whenever God gives man instructions, his instructions are not overbearing. His instructions are not such that man cannot understand them. This is why the New Testament would tell us in 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 3 that the commands of God are not burdensome. But listen to what it says. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. His commandments are not grievous. Saul received the instructions from God. But let's observe and let's go through and see, does Saul, the king of Israel, does Saul carry out what the Lord of hosts says? So Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men of Judah. Saul came to a city of Amalek and lay in wait in the valley. Then Saul said to the Kenites, "Go, depart, get down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt." So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul attacked the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, which is east of Egypt. He also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them. But everything despised and worthless, that they utterly destroyed. Now observe some of the things that the scriptures tell us. The things that they thought were good, they kept. The things that they despised, that they thought were worthless, that they utterly destroyed. But what was the command of God? Did God tell them to judge things by Saul's standards, or was the standard the instructions of God? Saul, would partial obedience equal obedience? You know, many today would applaud Saul. There are those who would say, "Saul, you man, you know, you really used a whole lot of wisdom. Look at how you treated the people. How about following the instructions that were given by God?" You know, He did, some might say, excuse me, well, he did most of what God instructed him. He did some of what God instructed him, and that should be enough. His intentions were good. Well, let's see if having good intentions, let's see if doing some of what was instructed, let's see if doing some of what God had said to do, let's observe and see if that was sufficient to be obedient. Verse 10, now the word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. You see, those words are, in essence, God saying to the prophet, Saul did not obey me. He was disobedient. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. So when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel, and indeed he set up a monument for himself, and he has gone on around, passed by, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, Blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Saul had the unmitigated gall. He had the audacity to, when he saw the prophet of God, to say, guess what? I did what God commanded me to do. No, you didn't do what God commanded you to do. And so Samuel responded to Saul by saying, well, if you did what God said to do, what then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? 1 Samuel 15 and verse 14. Samuel said, Saul, if you had done what God had told you to do, I wouldn't be hearing these animals because you were told to utterly destroy them. Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. That wasn't the instruction, Saul. The instructions were clear. The instructions were not for you to decide what's good and what's bad. The instructions were not for you to make a choice. The instructions were for you were to obey. Notice how the prophet responds to the king. Then Samuel said to Saul, be quiet, and I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And he said to him, speak on. Now, he thought that by saying to the prophet, speak on, well, you know, he's going to get a good word from the prophet. No, he's going to be chastised. And not only is he going to be chastised, he is going to find out that there are severe consequences to being disobedient to the word of God. He is going to learn that partial obedience is really complete disobedience. Partial obedience is no obedience whatsoever. Partial obedience is not a good smelling flavor in the nostrils of God, but partial obedience is a distasteful smell to the nostrils of God. It is a distasteful taste in the mouth of God. Partial obedience is sin. Notice how the Lord here's what the Lord told Samuel to tell Saul. When you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to go sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. Oh, now he says it was the people. That sounds familiar. Samuel, verse 22, so Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Oh, God's word to Saul is simply this, and God's word to us is the same, and that is, to obey is better than good intentions. We must realize that partial obedience is nothing more than complete disobedience. When we make the choice that we are going to pick and to choose what we want to do rather than what God has told us to do, we've been disobedient. When we choose which things that God has commanded us to do that we're going to do because, well, the people, we don't want to offend others. Well, what about offending God? We must obey that which God has instructed us to do. Now, that's that Old Testament example. Paul tells us in Romans 15 and verse 4, whatever things are written aforetime are written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scripture, might have hope. Partial obedience is nothing more than complete disobedience. You know, God commands not partial obedience, but he commands complete obedience. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, you can't love both God and man. You can't love mammon and God. You got to make a choice. And throughout the Bible, we see God's people challenging one another. God's faithful challenging the people, choose you this day whom you will serve. We have to make the choice. And God expects us, if we want the blessings that come from him, to make the choice to be obedient to him. We must not do like our parents in the Garden of Eden, who thought that they could partially obey God and not suffer the consequences of their transgression. We cannot be like the children of Israel, who were told when they went into the promised land to remove the people from it. We cannot be like Saul, when God instructed him to do a specific thing and he did not do it. If we want to receive the blessings that God provides, we are going to have to be obedient. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24, "Wherefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock," Matthew 7 and verse 24. We don't want to be disobedient. We are reminded again of what the Lord said, and we began with this passage, and we'll end with it. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, Jesus said, "And why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Jesus is the author of salvation to all them. And now, you note the Hebrew writer doesn't say who partially obey him, but to all them who obey him. Dayton, are you listening?